good evening and welcome to Let's Create, Let's Talk, the photography show. And on today's episode, we are joined by director, drone pilot, editor, producer, and currently, I think he's editing and finishing off his own movie, a short movie, and I can't wait to see that for sure. He started from humble beginnings, and he's pushed and pushed in many directions of creativity, being a professional drone pilot for many programmes you'll have watched on the BBC. But anyway, before I go any further and say any more, we cover all that in the chat, so sit tight and lend me your ears for the next hour or so chatting to Mikey McManus. Press big button.
Come in, number three. Your time is up. We are connected.
Hello, 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 hello. Right, give me a second. I'm just tweaking things.
So as long as you've got clothes on, all good.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I put my shirt back. would you speak? All right, the test is working. Yeah, the test is fine. Bugger off. Start video. That's what we're after right there.
There we go.
Whoa.
Oh, hey.
There you go.
How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very good. Yes. Usual nervous, usual tired, usual I've got a famous man in front of me moment.
Christ, don't say that. That'll go to my head.
Oh, I'm looking at your website here. We'll get onto that in a minute, but I'll do a bit of, what do you call it? Bit of groundwork first.
Preamble.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good.
I do have a mic to plug into my UX2, but that could just bugger everything up. So if this sounds okay, you're probably best going with this.
No, sounds good to me. A little bit of tweak to your bass, I hope. And we should be all right. No problem.
Well, let's put that light on. I'm just wondering.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
It's a bit noisy, that, isn't it?
Two old men in dark. It's good to see you, man. Last time I spoke, God, it's been a while.
Well, yeah, it was lockdown, wasn't it? Yeah, we were all just trying to make sense of life, I guess. It has been a while. Yeah. And then I did my creator spotlight, and you were so kind enough to get involved with that.
Talking about audio, that was bad. I'll put a link in the description, ladies and gentlemen, and you can go and watch that. What Mikey did, he did a creative spotlight. He got a good few of us on, and the room I'm in right now is the room I recorded that, but it was empty. It was the
really that's the room there.
That's the room. It was the beginning of the journey, as they say.
Oh wow! Yeah, because in the video you sent me, what it looked like was that you'd snuck onto a building site somewhere in Spain and was trying to rescue some like stray dog or something.
It's my kitchen. This was a kitchen. This, and we've had a wall put up, and we've got another kitchen now. And I thought, what can I do with that room? That was it.
Well, I don't know how many of your listeners have seen that background then, because kind of what it looks like now, it looks like a studio for that masterclass that you see advertised online.
Oh God, no! Have you seen my plugs? Don't paint's coming off.
No, it looks classic. Good over your shoulder.
I'm just the same with you. You've got a bit of steampunk going on there. So we'll explain to ladies and gentlemen. We've got numerous water bottles that no doubt are filled with some portion.
Whiskey. So whiskey or water. I can't remember which one's which right now.
I've got a cine lens. Looks like it's off the set of Star Wars. That's nice.
Yeah, that's one of my GMAS. That's my TV lens. That's my 18-135. My 28-135. That's my go-to cine for TV work.
Nice. Right. So we better let ladies and gentlemen know who we're talking to. We're with Mikey McManus. And as we've just been saying, we've not spoke for a while, but we've known each other on and off, mainly through the roots of Facebook and online activities, shall we say. So give us a brief introduction. Who is Mikey McManus in the wise words of my friend Darren J. Spoonley? Who is Mikey McManus?
Who is indeed, yes. Well, it's a journey. I'm still trying to work out. But I am a Scottish-based cinematographer, director, and I have been working in the film and TV industry for the last 10 years, of which prior to that, I was an underwater sea inspector offshore. And prior to that, I was in Her Majesty's, not in Her Majesty's service, but well, it sounded like I was in prison there. Yeah, previously that, yes, a veteran of the army. So yeah, but it, I suppose it's my current day-to-day job that's more relevant to the creative world, I guess. Photographer turned drone pilot turned underwater cameraman turned director.
Yeah, hell of a journey from being in the forces to where
humble
you are
beginnings.
Now.
Yeah, and it's a weird one because I've always been interested in it. Like I've always had a camera. I mean, I think way back to my teens when I was in bands and you know, VHS, you got the old, you know, VHS on the shoulder camera, and then the mini DV when it happened, and CDs, and I went through the change. I still have my. You'll appreciate this, Mally, because you can see it.
Yeah.
But I've still got a 1976 Polaroid camera.
Oh, look at that! Wow. Yeah. Pop-up Polaroid.
Pop-up Polaroid, original with the same sort of vintage 70s.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pretend. Well, it kind of looks like a 70s bathroom, that doesn't it?
It's got a bit of a Atari about it. It's nice.
Exactly. Yeah, the 2800, yeah. So, no, like, I've always had a camera in my hand, and it just so happened that it took me the best part of 40 years to work out that I could make money from it. Who knew?
I know, who knew? You know what? Very similar to myself, that, and especially the way you just said it. I always had a camera in my hand and thought, oh, I could never make money out of that. And didn't think, but I was looking in all the other corners of the universe to be creative, and it was under my nose all the time. Madness.
I know, and it's a totally. But oh, sorry, I've lost you there.
He's lit up like a Christmas tree, ladies and gentlemen. In his glasses, I can see reflections of. I think, is it Scottish porn that? I'm not...
But no, you're right. I think with technology getting better, I remember when I was a teenager, being away on certain, like, you know, I was a cadet back in the day, and I used to remember a girl in the unit that I was in. She had one of these Kodak. It was the latest thing that came out, but when you got it developed them in really long panoramic film, like or actually printed out. So you had to actually, you know, compose it properly. Although you didn't know what you were doing when you were 15, you just kind of point and snap. But it came out in these really long things. And when I think about things like that and think about what I'm doing now, I'm kind of thinking, I don't know why I didn't twig sooner. You know, because I shot music videos and. And all sorts of things. And then when video editing wasn't really a thing, you know, my first computer was this, I used to call it Gigantor. It was the actual tower was probably the same height as a kitchen table now. And I had a key on the outside to switch it on, and it powered up. And then it took an hour for it to get to the Windows 3.1 or Windows 95, I suppose, back in the day for video editing. And the things that I used to do and the time I used to spend shooting these things for these bands and these people on the off chance I maybe make it as a rock and roll star, but it never happened.
2 days rendering. I remember them computers with the key on the front. I was at Carmel College near where I live, and I had her similar to yourself, you lucky man to still have it, and I had her down to my shoulders. And we went in a tunnel in an old railway bridge called the Nine Arches, and there was like catacombs. Went in there filming. But I thought it was Jim Morrison back then, you know, candles and everything. So the only difference is you've been very successful. It depends how you look at success. But I've got, ladies and gentlemen, I've got Mikey's website. I've got a list of questions here as well to my left, Mikey. I've stopped printing them off, save the trees, because I end up throwing them away. And I thought, I've done all these questions and then I don't ask them because we just end up jangling and talking like we're doing. So We've got on his website, we've got STV, we've got the History Channel, we've got Channel 5, BBC, Cadbury's, MTV, More, 4 More, HuffPost, Blaze, BBC 2, Channel 4, Discovery Channel, Quest, Vice. Wow, man. That and I have seen a few when you've said or you've posted online, I've been looking and watching, and now and again I'll be watching, I'll go, that's Mikey's drawn that. I know he's got it. It might not be, but I always think it is. So you get credit even if it's not you in our house. I'm like, that's Mikey. That
more often than not. Now I've done so much now, especially yeah. drawing, because obviously that's where it started for me. Yeah. When I moved, I'm on the east coast of Scotland now. I lived up in Oban on the west coast.
Oh, have you moved again? Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I say I've been here 3 years now, three and a bit wow. years now, I suppose. Yeah. We landed here August 2019, and then obviously 2020 yeah. hit, and then that was it. So, no, we moved just because for various reasons, you know, family are closer to us now, and they're getting yeah. older and on a bit, and we want yeah. to be closer. But for work as well, I'm closer to the Central Belt now, Glasgow, Edinburgh, airports, in and out of the country. And my wife as well, we moved because of her job, because she works in law. So we're closer to everything now. But being up there, I had to turn my hand to something, because I was working as a diver and I was using a lot of underwater stuff, yeah. ROVs, you know, underwater drones. Yeah. And then I switched to the aerial one before they were cool, just to try it out. And my first drone was the big, huge,
big thing, black yeah.
thing, you know, and it had a yeah. GoPro Hero 3 on it or something that was just awful. But it was more about learning how to fly it rather than, because, yeah. you know, nowadays drones, you've got so much GPS and so much automation happening. Mm-hmm. You know, any idiot can fly a drone now, but back then, before they had it all kind of locked in, you kind of had to fly everything manually, much the same as you fly an FPV. Now you've yes. got to still correct your up and down and everything. And I spent hundreds on parts. And the thing is, at the time, we lived in a rural area. That, you know, we stayed on a farm which had hectares of land, but I still managed to hit things, you know, which is, you know, which wow. is where you kind of carve yourself a career out of, like, learning how to do it. And, I mean, everybody says to me, how do you train to be a drone pilot? I said, well, buy the cheap 40 quid one off of Amazon, fly it in the house. If you don't kill the cat, then take it outside. So, yeah. And it's a good starting point. But when I think about the drone, basically you're just taking a drone and being able to talk a good game, which is what I did, because I happened to be on a TV show by accident. Wow. And they needed a drone pilot. I had a friend of mine, I think it was I'm trying to think when it exactly happened, because there was a dip in the workforces. Everybody that worked offshore came inshore as a result of oil prices. They all went up. So a lot of guys that were working offshore came inshore and took yeah. a lot of the inshore jobs that I was doing. So because we were newer to that, we all kind of get, you know, we're freelance and we kind of get bumped out. Sure, so I didn't have it. Yeah. yeah, and I didn't have any work. But a friend of mine worked for STV, Scottish Television in Glasgow, pulled me up and just says, listen, I don't want to insult you, but we could do with somebody that knows how to drive a minibus, knows camera equipment, and is a little bit older, a bit wiser, can speak yeah. to the talent in the van, not sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
You fancy it. And I was like, what's the going rate? And I think it was 150 quid a day or something. Oh, wow. You know, I thought, right, yeah, oh, you know, a couple of weeks work.
Yeah.
Right, sure. And it turned out it was for Antiques Road Trip. driving the minibus, you know, with the crew in it, basically. So there was yeah. a three-man crew. It was a director, a assistant producer, and a production assistant, which would be my job, I guess. And then you've got one or two of the antiques experts that were on the show in the van. So, and that's kind of how it happens. And then somebody was like, oh, this would be great if there was a drone. I was like, so we did it. The production house got handed in, the edit did it. They loved the aerial thing because it was seaside, it was Scotland at the time, you know, and it was this aerial thing, and they were like, right. The series producer was like, Mikey, could you do that a bit more? And I was like, well, if you want to pay me some more money, and they were like, you know, and then it just kind of started from there because, you know, like, well, a bit older, you're a bit wiser, theoretically, yeah. you could, you know, be a bit more, you know, involved. And that's pretty much what happened. And then I just went down that line. And then when the next time somebody came along, it was another production company, said, "Oh, listen, we saw your drone work on this. Yeah. Do you know how to shoot second camera? You know, do you stick it on a set of sticks or a shoulder? Can you?" And I'm like, whatever. What camera are you shooting on? And they would say, "Oh, it was a PXW500. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I use them all the time. I didn't even know what that was. I mean, actually, in the military, I think that's actually an Indian rifle, actually. I think I thought I don't know that business. Yeah, yeah, no bother.
It could have been anything. Yeah.
It could have been. Yeah, they could have just been saying numbers. But again, it was just that having the bollocks just to say, "Oh, yeah, no problem." And that's what happened. And then I just kept going on like that. And I learned something from the thing that I was doing.
Yeah.
I was still doing the drone. So if my camera work on the shoulder wasn't great, they were like, "Yeah, he's still a good drone pilot, though, you know." So,
yeah.
And then it just kind of kept going. And then the shows just kept changing. So, you know, you went from Antiques Road Trip, and then it was on to Location, Location, Location with Phil and Kirsty, and getting all those big aerials above, you know, places I'd never shot before, like Solihull maybe, or someplace in East London or down in Brighton, or, you know, just getting these big aerials. Wow. And then the next thing was history programs, maybe, where they needed to see large aerial scapes of a land, you know, like especially history with Tony Robinson or something, when and your man, what's his name, Robson Green, who does a lot of fishing, you know, they like to show the juxtaposition of him in the boat and the coast and where he is, or rivers and all that. So everything was drone. It was drone. But now that I've got to the stage of my career where I've went across the camera board, so now I'm a DP or director of photography. Now my last show being the last one, which was with Alan Cumming and Miriam Margulies.
Oh, yeah. That was the one I watched. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's been my last, which they won a BAFTA for the first season last year. So I'm hopeful that next year, this time next year, if we're doing this, then you'll be talking to a BAFTA winner. Oh, so.
Well, wow.
So,
did you go to the BAFTAs? Did you make it there?
No. The last time was during lockdown. Location, location, location. We're up for a nomination, and we did it via Zoom. And my office was around the other way. I remember because I was over that side. I had my son sitting on my knee, and we had everybody on the screen in front of us. And Phil couldn't make it, but Kirsty was there, and Kirsty and my son were chatting each other up. Well, the BAFTAs were happening on the side, so this 5-year-old giving it big licks to Kirsty, and she's giving, "Oh, he's so cute." It's come on a really long way since those first days of throwing this big black drone around, narrowly avoiding sheep and trees, and getting a lot more interest. But I suppose what's happened now is I don't do as much drone as I used to, because everybody now is a drone pilot. I've done myself out a job because I was doing such good work. Everybody saw it. We're like, "I need a piece of that action." Yeah. And that's exactly what they did. Everybody's got a drone license now. So, I mean, obviously you can't take away from skill, I guess.
And, exactly.
And how to compose a good shot direction. And such like. But, TV, like everything else in the world, is trying to cut corners with money. And they'll save money by having one guy do three jobs rather than pay three people to do their individual jobs. So what you find now in TV is that sound guys have a drone pilot, drone license. So when they're doing their pieces to camera and they've got the boom out and they're doing their thing, as soon as the camera crew's finished with that and they all go off to do their, you know, their GVs or their landscape shots, then the sound guy will break out their drone and he'll go and do the aerials for them. So, yeah.
Same everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. But we're all fighting. We're all fighting for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Your progression, though, it almost like to people now who find you, it does, like, I can see that journey and it's lovely to hear that. It's been a long time coming and it's been a lot of hard work and you know.
It has been, yeah. And it's been good fun as well because my YouTube channel is quite interesting because I can go right the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And I can see what I did and how badly it was shot to what I do now. But I'm okay with that though because everybody starts somewhere, you know. Yeah. And if you can see that steady increase over time, it's way better than watching it go up and then sharply come back down again, you know. In fairness, I was actually ranting at myself on camera to do another video, because I haven't done a video in nearly a year for my YouTube channel because I've been so busy.
Good.
But I've got a huge project coming up that I'm going to start documenting. But I feel that you've got lots of questions to ask, so I'll add that one in.
No, carry on. No, it's fine. I've got lots of questions, but I don't like the questions. I prefer just chatting. You know, I wanted to focus on what you've just said, and you've ticked off about four here. So I just, some of the work you've done, I'm still back in time with yourself, because obviously a lot of the work you've done since isn't there, that you can't actually go and see, not on YouTube. Where my journey with yourself was seeing the progression through YouTube and then seeing this like leap into TV. And I think the last time I spoke or saw anything you was doing was when you were shooting, forgive me, I forgot the name of the place. All I know, it's the last railway station that was in Trainspotting.
Ah, right. Yeah. So I was doing a program for BBC. It was for Channel 4.
Oh, hold on. What the fuck? Did you hear that? Siri.
Why
did Siri just pop up then? I do not know. I can't be having that happening.
Does that mean I can control your Siri? Or was that my voice or your voice that did it?
That was weird. I haven't a clue. Did you hear what I said though about the place? So the last train station where they filmed Trainspotting, that was the last time I spoke to you or saw you do anything. And you were saying, I'll get you in a 4x4 and we'll go up this valley into nowhere. And I'm such a wuss. I was like, yeah, I'm up for that. Oh my God, he's going to fucking drop me off on a mountain and feed me to the sheep.
Well, actually, I'm just thinking now, because that was 2018.
No.
It was 2018. No.
No, 2019.
Yes, 2019, because that was World's Most Beautiful Railways for Channel 4.
That's it, yeah.
And they were shooting this whole programme about... It was called Scotland's Most Beautiful Railways, but then they did a second series, which I wasn't on. I was on the first one, and then they covered the whole... I think they included Northern England as well. Carrower. Railway station is the one you're inferring.
Yeah.
I was saying on the Let's Create Facebook page, like, you know, all of those troops that come up to Scotland, you know, it's all of them, all the rock stars, you know, Spoonley and the rest of them, you yourself and all. But you know, all the usual suspects, the ones that say the names wrong and get their geography wildly out of place. No, those guys, Tim Day, he's another one. All of them.
Oh yeah.
I want to get them all. Get yous all up at the same time. One, give yous all a dressing down about it, okay? Yeah. Then give you a set of rules about how you should proceed through the countryside.
Do you want
to? And then take you to all the other places that nobody else goes to, so you get some good content. Yeah. That was what it was.
That'd be good for me, because do you want to hear a secret here? Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
I've only ever been Edinburgh.
What?
Molly, honestly, I've been Edinburgh, fed the squirrels. He's gone. That's it. Interview's over. I've never been to Scotland since being a landscape photographer. To be fair, I've not been very far. A lot of people think I get around, and the furthest I've been doing this is... Oh, let me think. Oh, well, apart from going on a cruise, that doesn't help me cause at all. Makes me sound like a right snob. But
a cruise? No, it makes you sound like an elderly pensioner, you know.
It was amazing. Went Valencia, the science and arts place. Wow. And Lisbon was amazing. I could live in Lisbon. Really could.
Okay. Scotland. Give you points for that.
Well, the thing is, you mentioned Spoonley. We were supposed to be going to the Isle of Skye together, and I had to let him down because I was going on a cruise. So still, and I know, I can see you looking there now. So you've never been Scotland. Who am I talking to here?
I don't really know what to do with that piece of information. I mean, that's almost as bad as when somebody says, "Well, I've never seen Star Wars," or you know, you're kind of like,
I don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that means that must that do you know what? As shocking as that statement is, I feel quite excited for you at the same time, because one of the things we like to do is that thing. If there was a film that you could erase from your memory and watch again, you know, imagine being able to sit down and watch that film again that you loved so much. You get to do that with Scotland. You're like, all these places that everybody talks about, whether it be, you know, the coastal pathways of Fife, or whether it's the whiskey skipping in Jura and Isla, or perhaps, you know, the Caledonian Canal, maybe, or Skye or Harris or the beaches. You've got all of that still to do.
Yeah, exactly. Harris and Lewis, up to Inverness, where I can't remember the name of the place, Torridon. There's a few places I'd like go where I know they're not that rinsed. I know Glencoe and everything amazing, beautiful, but if I'm going to do this, I want to go to places I've not really seen others go to, especially woodland photography, you know, especially for woodland, because I'm obsessed at the moment with that. So,
You want to stay away. If you want to see woodland in Scotland, you want to stick to the middle then. Yeah, because you know, there's no trees anywhere else because they all blew away across to Norway. So, Well, do you know what? There's a YouTube series there, or a documentary there. Yeah. Mikey Takes Mally.
Mally and just stop there.
And then just a couple of dots, you know, and then each week we'll throw up a new place, you know, and we'll just start on the East Coast and work our way up and around, cut down through the middle and then back to the West and up and over the West of the Isles, all the way back round again and then finish. So start in Edinburgh, do like an M shape and finish in Glasgow. Bob's your uncle. Don't worry about the borders. The borders are shit. Yeah. And if you've been to the Lake District, it's kind of the same, so it doesn't matter. So
just a lot bigger.
That's
the thing. I've bought a van and everything for this. It's all prepped. It's all, honestly, it's all ready. Me and Mikey have spoken. Mikey's been up. He actually went up on his own not so long back when I went on this fancy dandled cruise.
Mikey Swales, right?
Mikey Swales, partner in crime when we go out. But so it's all getting prepared. The only thing I'm missing now is my heater. So as we've just had -8, I don't know what it's been like for you up there, but.
-4, -6, it has been.
Not too bad. Right.
I'm quite high up where I am in Dunfermline, but because it's been -4 here steadily for the last 7 days. It's quite nice because it's quite wet here a lot of the time, but it's nice to have this dry, cold spell with the sun high in the sky. The sunsets here have been magical. So,
well, should we get controversial? Because I've wrote down here, because I know what you like, and I'm just bringing it back in. Now you're
all right.
So fucked off with the fact that I've not been to Scotland. You're right, though. I thought exactly like yourself. It's like something that's never been done. Really excited for the future because, like, YouTube's been 5 years, but I've 2 children in that time. And it's been... To me, it's about doing what I can achieve in the time and the place I'm at and progression. Like you said yourself, you've got to crash first before you can crash and burn, before you can really learn and move on. And I still feel like I'm learning and growing, and hence the podcast. And it's something that I've always wanted to do, but with my accent, I thought it's never going to work. But for some reason, I've just been rated in the top 10% for photography podcasts.
All right, good going.
In the country. And I didn't have a clue I'd done this, by the way. This was just by chance I found out. So I'm really enjoying it. And it's a pleasure to have you on, because I've been getting some people like yourself, Jay Gilmore, Darren. I've had quite a few guys on who let's just say people who are friends and people I've seen grow and spend time with, like, albeit a long time ago. I remember you teaching me about proxies. That's how I first spoke to you.
That's right, yeah.
Knowledge. And that was it.
Well, in relation to your podcast, well, here is some outstanding news for that. This is my first podcast.
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, I've done radio. Because I used to be a director of a radio station when I was up in Oban, so I'm familiar with it. I've never done a podcast. I did like on a one-to-one basis. We had I used to do a metal, it was rock and metal and movies review with two of my mates from back in the day, and we used to do. I suppose podcasts are kind of recorded. It's kind of the same. It's kind of three of us just all talking bollocks about it. But this has been my first proper one-on-one, whereas I've been a, you know, I'm the guest.
You're the focus of attention, sir. Yes,
exactly. I'm the one with the skill set to talk to your audience about whatever and scratch my own ego.
I think that's wonderful. I do, because I don't think people get enough of that chance, really, and especially when the people who are doing something to the level that you are. I've spoke to some people and everyone has something in common, and that it isn't about the money. It's about how you apply in your creativity to either make money or to still be doing something creative with your life. And it's the sole entity of your life. And every guest I've had on, that's been the one desire. It's been the one focus amongst all of them so far. And I'm trying to keep it along the lines of that, where it's true to the arts, to being creative, to whether it be cinematography, video, or just landscape photography isn't the be all and end all. I've had some wildlife photographers on, portrait photographers. I've got a load of guests lined up. So it's really good to have you on, because you know what? There's not many videographers, cinematographers who would even want to do this. I've asked a couple of, I won't say any names, couple and they're not bothered. And I think, but you know, you're doing directing now. So tell us a bit, before I put the controversial questioning, tell us a bit how the direction's going, what you're doing there with the team, a crew.
Right, well, it happened, you know, maybe last year. I was working on that BBC program Amazing Hotels, which is as swanky and as awesome as it sounds. I get paid to go and film in the biggest, richest, fanciest hotels in the world. So I was in Iceland, Croatia, Madeira, you know, Abu Dhabi, all these places, you know. So and in London, I don't know if you know the Lanesborough in London, Hyde Park corner, basically £17,500 a night is what we're talking here for a 5-bedroom royal suite. But I would like to add, you do get a Lamborghini for your duration of the stay. So I was working on that as a kind of shooting assistant director. So there's a team of three. Basically, the team of three there, they put the story together, and then the three of you hammer through the 3 weeks with the two presenters. In this case, it's Monica Galletti, who is the MasterChef host, and Giles Corran, who is a writer for The Times. Some people know him, some people don't like him, all these different things. But for me, it was about learning how to take a story, and the story is the hotel, you know, and the people in it, and how it works, you know, and the type of guests it has, and then run with the story, and then allow the filming to slot in through all of that. And it's about managing that time. Being a director is about managing the story through the visuals of what the audience would watch, you know, knowing to ask the right questions, all I can. As a director on TV, it's much the same as somebody doing their own YouTube channel, because, you know, you have to script something, think about what you're going to do, turn the camera on yourself, answer all the questions. It's a journey, you know. Where am I going? What am I doing? What happened at the end? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that, for me, was a kind of taster of that. And I'm just an organizer, basically. So I'm taking people through this, and I do it myself a lot of the times. There's a role in TV as a shooting producer director. So basically, I shoot it, I produce the content, but I direct the talent at the same time. So I could be, like I did Bargain Brits on Benefits was a thing for Channel 5 I did this year. It sounds horrendous, but it was actually pretty decent. I met a lovely lady in Glasgow. She's from Zimbabwe originally, and she moved to Scotland, and she's got three kids. And it's about how she makes her money from the benefit system stretch. You know, so she does a lot of hair stuff with the kids, and she does their nails, and she cuts the boys' hair, and she makes food, you know, from an African family. You know, she knows how to make foods last and freeze them and all this kind of. So it's about that discovery, the journey, and being able to direct her, you know, stand here, or could you answer this question this way, and maybe answer this, you know, and just you've got many cogs moving all at the same time and making sure you get it. Because you know, as soon as you hand all that footage in, somebody somewhere is going to be tearing a strip off you saying, oh, why didn't he ask that? Or why did he shoot it that way? Why did you not get a wide shot of that? Why is there not a close-up of this woman's hand? Or, you know, all of that shit. So you've got to think that thing.
Yeah.
And at the stage that I'm at now is much the same. I'm still directing TV shows and shooting them myself and doing pretty aerials and all the kind of usual stuff, but now I've taken a step into feature films, and I direct my first film come January. I'm shooting a short film, a dark drama, comedy drama. No, it's a dark comedy, is it? Yeah, it's a dark comedy.
That's bang on for you.
Yeah. Well, when I tell you when it's set, you'll it's a black comedy set in a funeral. So long and short of it is two brothers have the ashes of their late brother.
Yeah.
And they have to go and disperse the ashes at sea as his last wishes. But while they're in the social club having their wake, the other brother decides that he can't be bothered, because he didn't really like him, and it would be better just to flush him down the toilet, for he would get to the sea that way as well. And as the film goes on, you realise that everybody in attendance of said funeral didn't really like the guy, and they all tell a story why, and then they're all allowed to take an amount of ashes, whether it be a spoonful, a cupful, or a glassful of ashes out of the urn, and flush them down the toilet.
That sounds really good. Oh, it does. So, I love Dead Man's Shoes. So it's got, I'm seeing that kind of feel. Well, I'm hearing that kind of feel about it.
It's going to be traditionally Scottish, set in a bar, usual. It'll be a task as a directorial debut for the film, but
yeah, sounds good.
But watch this space.
You've got a lot of stories in your past, man. So give us an adventure into. You said you always had a camera. So was you rocking it out in bands? Did you play, or was you just filming everyone?
I started as a drummer.
Right.
When I said earlier I was in the cadets, I was in the sea cadets. My mum was Navy, and I joined the sea cadets. And there was a guy at my unit that was he played the side drum in the pipe band. I really liked the sound of that, the snap of the snare stick on that, and I was like, I want to try that.
Some of that.
And I did, but I got quite into it, did it for a while, and then that same lad offered to sell me a drum kit. Obviously, I asked my mum and dad, and they were like, yeah, well, you know, your uncle did it, and it seemed that people in my family previous had all been drummers at one point in their life. Blood. So,
there you go.
Yeah, they agreed to it. So, I mean, that was, well, we're talking early 90s, so late 80s, early 90s, so I was going from a lot of hair metal into grunge.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of, you know, Nine Inch Nails and Nirvana and all that was coming out.
Effect.
And it was just, you know, Therapy and just all these kind of different things. And I really got, but then I have a real rich history with progressive rock, you know, going back to like Rush and Queen and all that kind of stuff.
Now we're talking.
That's where I kind of come from in terms of music. So I followed I didn't go down the thrash metal route immediately. I kind of fell down I found the glam rock side of things. You know, I was listening to Kiss in the early 80s because, you know, they were still late, you know, 70s bass band, and a lot of Genesis, Peter Gabriel, Phil Collins and all that kind of, you know, I went that way. And it wasn't until the late 80s, early 90s, then I found Metallica, Megadeth, Pantera, Sepultura, all these bands. I was like, oh my God. and then playing the drums just made so much more sense to me.
Bolt Thrower.
But, Napalm Death, Lawnmower Death, all the deaths. But yeah, ironically, when I joined the military, because I joined the army in 93, I kind of gave all of that up. I didn't, because I was too busy getting shot at and being shot and kind of things going on in life. It wasn't until after I came out that I kind of rekindled my love of music. But I ended up fronting a band. My friend had did a thing at uni. He'd done this project and needed a vocalist, and said, "Listen, you sound mental enough. Do you fancy it?" And I was like, "Yeah." what could be the worst that happened? It was more of a, pretty much. It was a big deal for a while. We had three albums. You could still get them on iTunes.
Oh, brilliant!
a couple of tours around Europe. I fronted this symphonic metal band, basically. So the idea at the time was to take something really heavy and splice it with cinema style music, like the Danny Elfman from Batman, yeah, Beetlejuice, yeah. Hans Zimmer, all of that kind of stuff. We wanted to do something heavy, but something symphonic, and this is what happened. And they just needed a charismatic frontman that could just shout at people, and that would be
that connection there with music. And I hear it so many times with people I speak to, and then photography. The two are,
and that's exactly how my brain works. So all my videos, everything, because in fact I did a couple of videos back in my early days specifically talking about music and how people use it, the best way to use it. But it's a subjective matter, isn't it? Like everything else. But I'll hear a piece of music and I'll think, oh, I know how to film that. See, and it started way back in the day, because my wife does doesn't do it as much now, but the fire arts, you know, fans and poi and all that.
Oh, yeah, I remember you photographing it. Yeah, that's
I did a video with her because I heard this song and I thought, oh, God, that sounds like my wife doing fire on a dark stone pier somewhere where we lived. And we did it. We filmed it.
Yeah.
And it was an opportunity for me to shoot at night on a fast lens and see if I could do it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, music for me is everything. I've always got my phone on. I've got playlists for everything, depending on what mood that I'm in. I've got playlists for the kids, playlists for the car, playlists for traveling, playlists for being in bed, playlists for bed sleeping, by the way. That's just
never said anything.
But music. Yeah. Smooth. No, I it's got to be Cannibal Corpse for that, you know? music is hugely, and the thing is that my family is my brother-in-law, he's a composer, you know, and my wife was, she was a musician, she was a bass player back in the day. We still have you kind of see them, but they're hanging up on the wall. We've got guitars there. We don't do it as much. We're trying to install it into the kids, but my wife's much better at it than I am, because she's still keeping on vogue with the current music world.
What's going on?
I'm lost with it now. You know, I mean, there's still a few artists, you know, your Taylor Swift's and the like, I can pick up pop wise and go, oh yeah, I know who that is. But other than that, I'm completely stuck. You know, I'm 46 now, so that's rock and metal was my thing. That's it. I've not got room for it anymore. So I'll just stick with.
You mentioned progressive and Porcupine Tree's got back together.
Back together, really?
New album.
Wow.
It's very, very, very good. Although Stephen Wilson is a bit of a wuss, it's a cracking album. They've come back with a good one. Yeah, very anti-establishment, of course.
Of course. Yeah. I think we need more of that, actually. It was a big thing in the 80s. And then it disappeared. And then all of a sudden, now,
bling. We were all going to change the world. And now we just want a nice car that runs off some battery that's been dug up in a desert in Africa and made slaves of people. Anyway, moving on. How do you feel about AI?
Artificial intelligence, eh? Wow.
Because what you're doing as well, I'm sure it's permeating all in creative industries at the moment. And it's almost like, it feels like it did when NFTs came about, but this almost feels like AI could make NFT people redundant, which is kind of amusing.
Well, I suppose for me, there's the concept of AI, and then there's how it relates to me, AI. And the concept of, AI is actually quite clever. I suppose if you add that to a list of things that man or human race has achieved over time, it's quite clever. And how it relates to me, I guess, whether it's the phone or computer doing things for you, it makes things a little bit easier. But interestingly enough, it's gone too far now. And I think it was, I hate to name drop, but James Popsis did a video recently about the new A7 R5 by Sony.
Yes.
And its new AI capability of taking photos. And then he said, well, what's the point in you having it then? If the camera's going to do all the work and you're just holding it, you're just, an aging tripod then, really. I shoot. I've got an A7 R4. That's what I use for my stills, and it's a great camera, brilliant. But I, if the camera takes away. Yeah, no, there's a time and a place for it. And cars especially. I mean, I know my mother-in-law recently was talking about her car. She's got a new car, and it's one of those cars that's got all those little bits in it. Yeah. You know, the one, if your car drifts, it pulls you back over the road again.
Yeah.
And then it breaks or it guesses the distance. That, I hate that. When I get higher cars for work, I switch all of that off because it takes the enjoyment of driving away. I love driving, and I hate that feeling. So it's gone too far in a lot of ways.
It has.
And obviously, and it's still not right either. Because it's making mistakes. I wouldn't trust myself to, because as much as I hate myself saying it, human instinct.
Yes.
Even though we've fucked the world up enough as it is, it's still probably better.
I thought we was going random with AI, but you brought it back with the fuck the world up. So I'm looking at your Sony FX9, and that's why I put the AI question in. So it wasn't just a random thing. Like you say, it's permeating out. It's in our equipment. It's in everything. At the moment, it's in wherever you look. And it seems to be there.
Well, to be honest, the Sony system's actually, that's a good point there, because I've got a full Sony system, you know, FX6, FX9, FX3, you know, depending on what I'm using. But that feature that those Sonys have, I can't remember what it's bloody called, but I don't use it. Basically, it's kind of rolling all the time. So if you were a landscape photographer or shooting birds or something, and you don't know when it's going to take off, it's constantly rolling in the background up to 120 frames per second. So as soon as the bird takes off, you've already got it in the bank and you can hit record and it'll jump back 60 seconds or 40 seconds. Yeah. It'll have already captured it for you. So it's in that respect, that's brilliant. So there's people who've taken what would ordinarily be a really hard shot to get, waiting with the shutter to go bang.
Yeah.
The camera's done it for you. There is a definite argument there, and that's a feature in Sony that I really like. But like I say, I've never bloody used it though. So
yeah, I didn't think you would.
I did. No, I mean, I deal with presenters who are like the presenters I deal with are like petulant children. So you never know what's going to happen. You just have to make sure you're recording.
Yeah, they're not listening to this, so you're all right there.
I don't mind. Sometimes you have to be.
Say, straight.
The careful application of terror is also a form of communication.
Right, that's the name of this episode, right there. Wonderful. I'm having that, right? Cut. Remember that, Mally. That's the title there. Right, start again. Yep. Right.
So if you say something with enough conviction and believability, you'll get away with anything.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Look, this is what's happening. This is what's happening.
Well, yeah, I mean,
with a lot of people who are talentless. Look at me.
I do it more for comedy, more than anything, make myself feel happy. You know, like, you won't know this because you haven't been yet, because you've not been to Scotland, right? But when you get the opportunity to, and I'm sure anybody else is listening to this podcast that's been here, in Fort William, up in the northwest coast, right? It's the outdoor capital of Scotland. It's where Ben Nevis is.
Yes.
On the one side, on the west side of Ben Nevis, there used to be a smelting plant where they'd send water down and they would smelt materials down to make various items. And they used to draw water from the other side of a sort of gully and pool water all the way down. It doesn't get used anymore, but you can still see it if you visit the town. You see it sitting up on the side. Now, one time, because I did my dive training up there, there's an old pier that comes out, and it's a nice historical bit because it used to be a little railway, and the railway ran all the way up the side of the mountain, and they used to bring all the stuff down on the boats and all that kind of stuff. But there was a Canadian couple there, and we're just having a chat. They were like, "Oh, we love your accent. Could you talk to us?" And I'm like, yeah, whatever. So you just talk shit to them, and they're like, "Oh my god, you sound just like Ewan McGregor or whatever." And he was like, "Yeah, I'm just better looking." Although he got the Star Wars part, and I didn't. And they said to me, "The two pipes. You see them coming down the hillside. What is that?" And I thought, "Ah, well."
Oh, here we go.
Fort William is the only town in the world that has a kitchen in every home that has three taps. There's one for hot water, there's one for cold water, and there's a third one for porridge. And the porridge factory, which is at the top of the hill, sends the porridge down those two big pipes that you can see, all the way down to the bottom, and it's received in a large area, and then it's diverted into the town. So everybody can have fresh porridge every morning to keep themselves warm and full of oaty Scottish strength.
And I bet they believed you as well.
They did.
really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, it's just like if you deliver it with enough passion and virtue signaling and all the kind of rest. I mean, I don't know if the English probably won't know various car showrooms. If it's not owned by the main brand like Volkswagen or Mercedes or whatever, they're owned by a name normally like Ian Skelly or Arnold Clark or something. Well, Scotland had Arnold Clark. It was a really big thing, and there was an Arnold Clark car showroom all over the place. And he used to always sell cars with this name and the bumper sticker. And an American told asked me in Oban who Arnold Clark was. And I just said that was a leader of the resistance back in the early 1750s who brought certain technology to Scotland to help us fight the English, you know, this kind of chat. And they're like, wow, they don't teach us that in school. They're like, yeah, they don't teach you anything in fucking school, you lunatic. But yeah. You need to be careful, especially if you've not been to Scotland. If I throw those at you, Marley, I might catch you out with a good one.
Do you know what? I am that person, though. I am laughing here, but I have been told so many things in my time. I mean, really? And then it's dawned on me, you know.
Retrospect, though, if you found out there was a porridge factory in Port William, how fucking cool would that be?
That would be, yeah. I love porridge, yeah.
I'm not a big fan, but
no,
there's more people, you know. But yeah, I mean, that would be.
You'd need another tap for honey as well, though. So, you know, with the bees living another mountain, shitting it out, like, and
you've taken that too far. You know, well, there's realism, and then there's taking the piss, Mally. Really,
I like bees. Punk rock. You know this. You know I'm surreal. I'm not even going to talk about your gear because it's far too fancy. And I know a man, we mentioned Jay Gilmore before, he would have...
Oh, he's such a showboater, that guy.
He'd flip.
Look at me. Well, in fairness, I'll not slag him off because I did say a nice thing about it, because I was just saying earlier when we were off air that he'd come on a long way, and he's carved himself out quite a nice little career for himself in the wedding industry, which I did do for a while and then stopped doing it because it was far too stressful. Far too stressful. Yeah. I actually just did my last wedding this year. It was for a friend of mine. She's a florist, and she was like, listen, I really want you to film it. I want you to be at the wedding, but I want you to film it as well. And I was like, really? So yeah. I did it. I farmed out the editing to someone else, but I know.
Wasn't Jay, was it?
No, actually, it's this lovely lady in Serbia.
Oh,
Tanya, I use her for a lot of editing work. She's just this great, very efficient and very business-minded, ethical lady.
I'm 8 vlogs behind here, and I'm trying to do my Mally on tour videos. Just send me and details after. So
she's brilliant. So, doing weddings was just no. I mean, I like the cinematic side of it. I love the capturing those moments, that once in a lifetime opportunity, all that kind of stuff. Oh, the stress though. And it's good to see Jay, you know, from where he started to what he's doing, there's a huge leap there. And then obviously, you know, there was all the Sam Young Lenses posts that were going up on Instagram. He's like, all right, he sold himself out.
Yeah. Good lad. He's doing it right. He listens to this, so we need to slag him off a bit more. Only joking, Jay. And if anyone's listening, you think, who are we on about? Go and listen to the last episode. Although I am doing the in-betweens, and you get a mention in that, the next one. So I think we've come to the end here, because when I look now, I think, right, he's still putting up with me, and we're another 20 minutes in. So thanks so much for your time, Mikey.
Mally, it's easy. It just comes naturally. Just talking about it, and I think talking we've covered all yourself. The bases. I think,
we went off early. You went off. I had all these questions about what you'd. My last question here. What's next? What's your next project?
Well, I suppose I can tell you. Can I tell you that?
Can you? Will you have to kill me?
See, I signed these non-disclosure agreements.
Oh, this sounds good. I was hoping for this.
Because I did... when was the last time it happened? Because the last Bond film, we had to do the same for that because I did some aerials and that. I couldn't tell anybody.
Wow.
You know, I don't know if you've seen Spectre, it was with the the car chase sequence through the woods with the jeeps and the motorbikes.
Yes.
Because that was shot up in Rannoch Moor in Scotland.
It was.
Not far from the train station that I threatened you about like an hour. So it was on the other side of Rannoch Moor. So,
explains the very, very gorgeous remoteness about them shots.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be Norway. The scene before it, they're in Norway.
With the bridges.
Exactly. And then it cuts to that sort of foresty scene. It's supposed to be the same place, but it's not. But what is it? Well, I can tell you one thing, because I just turned the job down today. I turned it down. I have to be, I suppose I have to be quite selective about work because of family life, you know. This year, I spent 8 weeks in Canada in the Yukon filming that Gold Rush for Discovery. So I spent the best part of, where was I? When did I go out there? Did I go out there in April? I think I'm back till June or something. And when you've got a young family, I mean, my kids are 9 and 5, so technology is a great thing. I suppose go back to technology, having Zoom and being able to chat to the kids, you know. But I was out in the wilderness. I was like 80 kilometers away from the nearest town. I was living in a sort of pre-made camp. When I arrived there, it was -30 at night, and it was 10 degrees during the day. And we're living on a mine site, basically, and there's, you know, large equipment flying about backwards and forward.
He was wrestling bears. That's right.
That's right, yeah, because there's a really good shot on my Instagram of a bear that false charged me.
That's right. Yeah.
And I put the camera down and I ran away like a little girl. But like the professional I am, I left the camera rolling. Okay, that shot hopefully got used. I spent all those weeks in Canada, and then I was in LA for 3 weeks, Vegas, Palm Springs, and dotting about there. And then I did a documentary this year and on the NC500 up in Scotland. So I spent weeks away up in Scotland in the, you know, in the middle of nowhere. So I've kind of dotted about. So I got offered a job next year working in Afghanistan. There's been a job about 9/11 to do. They didn't really tell me too much, actually, but there was three locations, Kabul in Afghanistan, Morocco, and in the States. And it was kind of documenting this, a journey since 9/11. I think there was more to it, you know, following a person that was, or three people that were linked between all the events and places kind of thing. But I turned it down just because, I don't know, a part of the world's just a bit still
volatile.
You know, I was there once before in a different capacity, but so I decided not to bother this time. So what I'm going to do instead is Grand Designs. You're familiar with the TV show,
I used to love it. I've not watched it for a long time, actually.
I haven't either, in fairness, but I couldn't say that to the production producer. I was just like, we're doing this kind of new version. It's called Grand Designs of Streets. And I'm like, okay, So that's this new, it's supposed to have a new vibe to it. It's about more ecological side of it, you know, groups of houses being built rather than just one house. And it's, you know, neighbours who are all purchasing together, and they buy the same style of house in a row of them. So there's more to it, more people. It's a bit more aware of environmental issues and all that kind of stuff. So it might be a bit more current, on vogue, if you will. But
it sounds good. Yeah, to be involved in. Brilliant.
Yeah. Man. So I think, other than my own film that I'm filming in January, that is the first production I'm going on to. There is an opportunity for me to be on Amazing Hotels for BBC again for season 5, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. Because my job just invariably, I get a phone call. We're doing this in 2 weeks. Are you available?
Are you up for it?
No, whatever. Yeah. You know, what jobs are available? What is it you want me to do? You know, is it just aerial? Do you want me to direct? Do you want me to shoot and direct? What am I doing? And then we haggle out a deal. They tell me how much it is, and then I tell them. I'm a big deal now. You're never gonna have to up that by another grand.
It's great to hear you're so busy and productive and doing all these projects and doing all these things. Well, a man who deserves it. You do. I know you didn't say this about me. No one deserves everything, because you've got to work hard for it. But I've seen you work hard, and that progression and everything you've just said in that 5 minutes, I applaud you, man. Well done.
Thanks, man.
Awesome.
No, well, in fairness, I think everybody that you've had, yourself included, that you've been doing this, you know, because everybody started off humble beginnings, you know, Facebook pages and groups and stuff. There was meetups. I always planned to come to one of those meetups.
Yeah.
And obviously, lockdown get in the way of that, and there's a lot changed, you know. And you know, everybody started somewhere. I mean, I did a lot of free, rather questionable fashion photo shoots back in the day for free before and you know and it's funny just to see where everybody goes. I couldn't do the landscape thing, and I made multiple videos about how I reckon it's the hardest job in the world to do a landscape. Because I don't know how you do it, this walking on past the camera, towards the camera, talking shite about this hill, the hill that looks exactly the same as the last fucking hill they just took a photograph of, all sorts of weather, and the awful music that these guys pick for their vlogs. But, you know, I slagged them all off, and I named them my name, because at the end of the day, you know, two barrel. But they're still entertaining. But still, you know, it's good to see how everybody, you know, obviously you got a podcast going now. You're quite the celebrity now.
No.
Should be thanking you for this.
No, never. No chance. No,
do you know, actually, and I'll tell you this, because the Hollywood actor, Alan Cumming, and I, close personal friend.
Yeah, good photographer.
We were talking, he is a good photographer. Were talking about podcasts not that long ago. We were sitting, we were sitting in a buffet in Vegas, of all places, talking about, I was trying to pitch him an idea for a new TV program. And about a fly in the wall documentary about him, called "I Dream of Cumming," which I think it would be brilliant, you know.
Yes.
But we were talking about podcasts, and he was just saying how the golden age of radio, how that was a big thing. And he was, I mean, obviously neither of us are old enough to remember the Archers when it all started and all that kind of stuff. But that was huge. Podcasts is that again. You know, you're bringing this new entertainment. I mean, I love my audiobooks, you know, when I'm traveling, I listen to audiobooks, but podcast is a new thing. And my, the production assistant that I had when I was in the States, she was listening to podcasts in the car, and she kept, you know, oh, you should listen to this soon. Like this. And she'd just play this shit on it. And I would say, no, you should. She says, you must know podcasts, lots of them. And I was like, do you know the only podcast I knew was yours?
No way. Wow.
Because I don't listen to them. I've never really listened. I don't really know what's out there. Yeah. But I know there's millions. So I, if some strange Lebanese woman looking for you, it was me. It was me sent her in your direction, okay?
There's plenty of strange people come looking for me, but... And I love it. Bring them all on. Honestly. It doesn't bother me at all. The more the merrier. I like strange people very much so. It makes life far more entertaining. We're going to end it there, Mikey.
That's fine with me.
Thanks again so much for coming on and having a chat.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, no, it was good fun. Thanks very much. I mean, as I was saying, you've been doing this a while now. I should almost feel upset that you didn't ask me sooner, but yeah.
Thanks so much to Mikey for coming on and spending some time and having a right good jangle with me. There's so much in that recording for you to pick the bones out of. What an adventure from start to finish. He's been about a bit, hasn't he, our Mikey? An absolute joy to speak with him. And I hope you've enjoyed that as much as I did having a talk and a jangle with Mikey. So if you like this podcast and you like what I'm doing, you can help by supporting me to head over to Patreon. The link is in the description below, or you can go to my website, www.malleyphotography.co.uk/podcast, and all the details are on that page. And if you like, you can be a part of the show. Fill in the form below and send me your feedback, send me your story, and I'll try my best to include you on the in-between episodes. Thanks again for everyone who listens and supports. It's wonderful. Honestly, it blows me away, the comments and feedback I get about this podcast, as I am no professional. I'm just making my way with these episodes one at a time and hopefully keeping you entertained. So, well, what's there left to say? Well, there's only one thing left to say, and that's see there!